One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Choosing this day, whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, as always, we're so grateful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We do want to invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. There are the podcasts there, free for download. You can also write to us, support us online if you wish. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. You can call us at 1-888-504-8805, 1-888-504-8805, or now you can go into your phone's app store and download the new app, newly developed app for Abounding Grace Radio, free of charge. We hope that's a blessing to you. We've gone to great work to bring that to you. And if that is, do please send us a note. That would encourage us a great deal. Well, today is part two from Isaiah chapter 40 on Abounding Grace Radio, taken from Isaiah 40 on the comfort that God desires to announce to this lost world in darkness. Those in darkness have seen a great light. That's what this is about today, that the Lord's ultimate intention to this sad world is to announce the comfort of the gospel, that people would come to his Son and believe in him and find him to be their life. I hope you have found that today and that you've come to Jesus, turned from your sins, repented, and believed in him. He will abundantly pardon. Here's that message, part two from Isaiah chapter 40 on the comfort of the gospel.
Can you imagine today if I had to stand up and say you're all going to get double for your sins? I mean, that would be the worst thing to say. I don't even think anyone could handle it today. Well, one of the great contrasts of Isaiah is the contrast of light and darkness. That's what the book is doing. And you'll notice if you ever to go through what our series of lawsuits here, what Isaiah is doing here is prosecuting and bringing severe indictments upon a nation that had defected, upon a nation that had hardened its heart, upon a nation that was going around, and think of this, calling evil good and good evil, who substitutes, he says, light and light for darkness. I mean, the indictment of Isaiah is, my people walk in darkness. One of the great sins that comes out in Isaiah, and that was right out of chapter 1, was the sin of idolatry. Worshipping gods that cannot save, and worshipping gods that could not deliver, gods that are not the true God, and they're out there bowing down to them. And the Lord would send his prophets, and the Lord would send his prophets and say, listen, you shouldn't be doing that. These gods are not gods, and your God is against you when you do these things. Oh, don't worry about it, said the false prophets. All these false prophets started rising up, and they started saying, peace, peace. It's okay. Things got so bad in Israel, their idolatry had so gripped them that they were utterly shutting down the messages of the true prophets and replacing it with their own messages that were not from the Lord. Always been moved by Jeremiah's indictment. My people are foolish. They've not known me. They're silly children. And they have no understanding. Darkness. So what did God do? Well, you had a few bright kings along the way, but they were far and few between. We read at the end of 2 Kings, after this long run of kings, remember what happened? Nevertheless, The Lord did not turn. I'm sorry. The Lord did not turn, yes, from the fierceness of his great wrath with which his anger was aroused against Judah. I used to hear when I was a kid Charlton Heston say that in the Moses movie all the time. Turn from your fierce wrath, O Lord. I never understood that. Here's Isaiah, speaking 150 years earlier, before Judah would be hauled off to Babylon. You have sections, major sections of the Old Testament describing this for us. You remember how awful the event was? Nebuchadnezzar comes in, a foreign king, and he ransacks the temple and all the holy things. I mean, all of the holy things were carried off to Babylon, and Jerusalem was laid waste. The whole thing was kicked down to the ground. It was set on fire. The people were hauled off into captivity, and the wicked kingdom of the world at that time marched right on in, picked them up, picked up their children, and hauled them off. Darkness prevailed throughout much of the Old Testament. Now, what chapter 40 is a discussion on the heavenly throne. They've had enough. They've had enough. I have sufficiently punished them. Now, why is this so important this morning? That darkness, to understand that darkness, to listen to that, what it encompassed and what had happened to the nation of Israel, helps us to have any kind of appreciation for his love. At the beginning of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah himself had to face this as he was brought into seeing a glimpse, if you remember, in that vision of the holiness of God, and he sees just the glimpse of that glory, the Lord high and seated up, and the train of his robe filling the temple. It was his glory that filled the temple. And finally, Isaiah himself, when he got a glimpse of that glory and the angels flying throughout heaven saying, "Holy, holy, holy," that he drops and he pronounces a prophetic curse on himself. "I'm breaking up. Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm breaking apart in this God's presence. And I dwell among those with unclean lips. I'm unclean." When we look at the Old Testament, we see God making it so clear for us in studying the nation of Israel, this great point under the law, the severity of sin. The dire predicament people are in. And that's our challenge as gospel preachers. How do I make a culture today feel that? How do you bring into the heart anyone feel that the dire circumstance that we're all in when we have a culture that has cast off all discussion of sin and its consequences? When you have a culture that, even a church culture that would never even want to have a sermon on hell and wrath and justice. How do people see their own darkness? It's the hardest thing for us. The context of Isaiah 40. That's the context of the darkness that surrounds Isaiah 40. And here's the beauty of it. Here's where now this passage means so much to us. After all this idolatry, after all of these problems, after all of this description of divine justice, it's against this backdrop that the mouth of the Lord comes to us. The mouth of the Lord, he speaks. And here's what he says: "I want you to run throughout all the earth, and I want you to cry out." You'd say, "Well, what should he cry out?" Well, I know what he should cry out. Don't you know what he should cry out? "I want them to understand the marvel. I want my people to understand that the distress that they are experiencing because of their sin, the burden in the hearts of those who see, I want them relieved of this grief. This is your God." And so in verses 3 through 6, you have a description of God's preparation to come. the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. You know this passage. It's quoted in the New Testament. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. A voice cries, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Do you know what he just described? I'm coming down. My glory is coming down. I'm coming to the earth. And the imagery you have is, get ready. Clear out a highway for me. Carve out a highway in the wilderness for God to come. So the imagery that we have here is the Lord coming down and will pass through this wilderness of an earth in a victory march, in a victory chant. Cast up a highway for him. I love singing that in Psalm 68. Cast up a highway. He's riding through the desert. Every obstacle, though, has to get out of the way. Every obstacle has to be put in its right place and get out of the way for this smooth place for the Lord to come and ride. Every mountain brought low. And the question is well, what is that going to be like when he comes? What is he going to do? When I was a kid, one of the worst things my mom would say to me was, Chris, you wait till your dad gets home. And I would go booking out the back door and hide in the bushes, and my dad would have to come, and he'd see the feet under the bushes and grab me out, give me a big spanking. When your dad comes home, watch out. The entire Old Testament announced God's coming. But in what way? What was he going to be like to us? All of a sudden, I want you to notice in verse 6 that this one voice starts speaking. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? This is a conversation, surely applies to Isaiah, but it's a conversation in the courts with an angel. I'm thinking the angel is ready to receive a message of sword and judgment. I remember thinking as I was working through this last week, remember when David, after he had sinned with the census, he looks up and God gives him a vision. He looks up and he sees the angel of the Lord. And this is what happens. David lifted his eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven and in his hand a sword drawn. You imagine? Swords out. And bodies started falling. David says, stop. Stop. What do I cry? What do you want me to say? Here's what I want you to say, verse 6. All flesh is as grass, and all of its loveliness, and all of its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Tell them their lives are like blades. Go throughout the earth, and you tell them their lives are like blades. Tell them they're like grass. They're like flowers. As soon as I blow, it's over. Their lives are this mist. When I come and I blow, and I put an end to it, it's done. You know that? Your lives are held by a string. Tell them this. Tell them their lives are brief. Make them feel the weight of the brevity of life. Make them understand this. Make them understand. As a matter of fact, I want them to go out. Tell them to go out and study what I made in creation and see that I had an intention in that. And the intention was, when you look at flowers and you see them gone the next day, that should trouble you to some degree. Well, I always got troubled about that in Linden. Those tulips, they lasted a couple days. Oh, they were beautiful, beautiful flowers, just beautiful flowers. I would plant them, and then one of my kids would walk by and accidentally kick it, and the thing would fall off. Tell them they're like grass. Tell them that's all a consequence of sin. Tell them it's crazy to gamble with their lives. They need to understand they don't hold their lives. They need to understand I hold their lives, says the Lord. They don't control them. Go study the flowers today. Go study the grass. How long is it there? Let them feel that. I want you to tell them that. You ever feel life, you just can't believe how fast it's gone? And then you have no guarantee for tomorrow?
None.
I'll never forget in Linden when I woke up one morning and I got a phone call and they said to me, Al's gone. And I thought, what? Went to bed that night and didn't wake up. Was it? All of a sudden, verse 9, he speaks to Zion. Can you imagine the hosts and angels hearing this? I can't help but think of Peter, who says that the angels are intensely interested that God would redeem us, so curious that God would report these things to us and have them preached to us by the Holy Spirit from heaven. Here it is. God says to the courts and his servants, I want you to go out on the mountains. O Jerusalem, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Tell them I'm coming. Here it is. Give them glad tidings from me. It means good news. It means gospel. Tell them the warfare's over. Tell them that I have pardoned their iniquity. Tell them that I'm coming, and I tell them I don't want them to be afraid anymore. Say to them, say something really clear to them. You make sure it's clear. Behold your God. I'm going to rule them. I have a reward that I'm bringing. I'm going to feed them. You tell them I will feed them. I will care for them. I will be their shepherd. I'm going to tenderly deal with them and their young and their children. I am going to do this for them. I will carry them. I will lead them. You tell them good news. You announce to them glad tidings. Who's speaking here? It's your Christ. The people in darkness have seen a great light. When John the Baptist arrived on the scene of history, he was preaching one message, wasn't he? What was he preaching? Repent. Turn away from your sins. The Lord is at hand. He's coming. Zechariah, your child will be called prophet of the Most High. He will go before your face to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of sins through the tender mercy of the Lord. When in the Old Testament it says, every mountain's going to be brought low, every hill, all obstacles are putting out of the way. Do you know what it's describing? Repentant hearts. Repentant hearts. People who would be made prepared for the king. What do I say? You notice in this here, the voice here? You remember what happened that day with the fields and the shepherds in the field? Shepherds are out in the field and all of a sudden the glory shines around them. And if you look carefully at Luke 2, and you read that, what you'll notice there is a single voice speaks. What did he say? Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He's come. My gospel. Announce it. It happened. He just fulfilled. When you open up Luke, fulfilling of Isaiah 40 happened and continues to be fulfilled to this day. On the mountaintops, he is having it declared, my glory has come. Here's my gospel to you. And as the shepherds are looking there, all of a sudden heaven opens up and they see multitudes on a mountain, multitudes on the mountain. And what are they doing there? This has always been the theme throughout the Old Testament. The mountain, surrounding the mountain. There they are. They're all singing out. They're all proclaiming glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace toward men of his good pleasure. The celebration of what we call Christmas is God got off the throne and he came to you. His eternal Son made flesh, assumed a human nature in the incarnation. And today I want you to think about how wonderful your Lord is. You know what my responsibility today is as a pastor? I want you to tell my people, Chris, who I am, what I've done for them. Jesus is the Lord your God. He's come to you. And I want you to tell them their warfare's over. You're not thinking earthly comfort and earthly wars, are you? The comfort of forgiveness. Ultimately, he'll bring that to an end. But today, the comfort of forgiveness, the comfort of the burden of your hearts, he wants you to know, I've taken it. I've pardoned your iniquity. You are not to view me, says the Lord, as your enemy. And you should not buy into the lie that I have come and that I'm all about rules for you. I'm all about making your life hard. That's the lie of the devil. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. Don't buy that lie. The full measure of your sins, double for your sins, has been paid by Christ himself. That's what the cross is. It was the full payment. And the Lord wants you to know today that he's come to shepherd, that he's come to care, that he's come to gather, that he's come to gently lead your life, and that you can live in the joy of the comfort that there is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in him. That's the message the messengers are called to give. And what a perspective that gives you for the whole of life and on what we celebrate this coming week. Some of you are distressed. Some of you are hurting. Some of you feel cast down. Some of you feel the burdens of living in a very dark world and you grieve. The Lord's desire is to cheer your hearts today, to make you have true happiness and joy, true lasting joy in his gospel, in his glad tidings, which is what gospel means, good news. That's what he has for you. So I come back to where I started. You could celebrate this week. You could sing joy to the world and not believe it. Well, if you do that, you're celebrating your own darkness. And I say to anyone here today who doesn't believe, you're crazy. I hope you were given enough light today to say, why would I turn away from a God who is offering me that kind of grace and favor from heaven and got off his throne and came down and solved the problem himself by paying for my sins on the cross in AD 30 in the month of Nisan at about the sixth hour of the day when he said it's finished. Why would I say no thanks? You're a fool. Because then you have to go pay double for your sin. I pray you feel the burden today of the guilt, and that the Lord today took down every mountain in your heart against him, because there are mountains in there. And he cut open a pathway for him to ride and him to save you. What Christmas is the announcement that God is not giving you as your sins deserve. Plain and simple. Christ has come to tear down your mountains that you erect, and he's come to engulf your darkness with light. Isaiah 40 happened. Only when you've heard that warning cry, obey, and turn to him, will you ever know the true and lasting comfort that he gives. I want you all to pray for this sad world at this time of year. Look at the darkness. Let that darkness be engulfed with light. The light of the knowledge of the glory of Jesus Christ in the face of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you all have the comfort of the gospel, that you all know his peace, that that's God's intention for you, and that he's the one who holds your life, and that he is for you, and that he's not against you. And if that matters anything to you, then tonight I hope you'll come back and you'll listen to how you can take that very same comfort and encourage your brothers and sisters who need it because he's done it for you. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the comfort of your gospel that you don't give us as our sins deserve. And if you were to announce double for all her sins, and you were to announce that you're going to demand a payment from us, well, if you could started marking iniquities, who would stand? But since there's forgiveness with you, you are feared. Let your comfort break into our hearts. Thank you that you've spoken to us this way and that you didn't just speak, you came and remedied it. Lord Jesus Christ in the incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us, becoming our peace so that we might enjoy, as Romans tells us, having been justified by faith, we have peace with you. War is over. We praise you this morning for your love. And thank you for the comfort of your gospel. In Jesus' name.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, you can go to the website and download these podcasts free of charge at agradio.org. There's a way to support us online, a way to write to us too. There's a form there to fill out. We'd love to hear from you. Also, you can call us at 1-888-504-8805. Again, 1-888-504-8805. And an exciting new feature at Abounding Grace is that you can now go to your phones, go into the App Store, and find Abounding Grace Radio and download the app free of charge. Do please do that. We'd love to know how that app is a blessing to you, and now you can bring the programs right to your phone, whether you go to the gym or to the store, wherever, you can have Abounding Grace Radio with you. So thanks again for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. Until next time, may the gospel of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.